Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You're a leader, a commander in the Lord's army. Here are seven qualifications for being not just a leader, but a victorious leader, a commander that wins every battle. Hallelujah. Number one, always receive your orders from the right person. A general will never take orders from a private. An admiral will never take orders from a captain. Success in life is dependent upon our ability to recognize, honor, and obey the commands issued by proper authorities. The person in charge.
Joshua 5, verse 14 in the Message Bible says, he said, "Neither, I'm commander of God's army. I've just arrived." Joshua fell face to the ground and worshiped. He asked, "What orders does my master have for his servant?" Who should we receive our orders from and by whose authority? In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." If you've got the power, then you're in command under the Lord.
Hallelujah. Number two, understand the importance of specific commands at the right moment. No doubt you've experienced defining moments in your life when you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit directing your way. During these precious moments, you recognized and honored the words being spoken to you, whether audible or otherwise.
On Joshua 5:15, the Message Bible, we read, "God's army commander ordered Joshua, 'Take your sandals off your feet. The place you are standing is holy.' Joshua did it." It happened to Joshua before a great victory. And in Exodus 3, verse 2, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold," obviously we're talking about Moses, "behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from your feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground." It happened to Moses before God used him to set his people free from the bondage of slavery. So are you ready for this? It's going to happen to you too, if it hasn't already. And it will happen more than once.
Hallelujah. And you can take it and bank it because of God's word. Number three, who will lead to your appointment as a commander in the Lord's end time army? God wants you to be a commander in his army of believers, winning the lost, discipling the found while they're still around.
Isaiah 55, verse 4 says, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." So what is the criterion for being appointed as a commander? We read in Isaiah 55:3, just before that, this in the Classic Amplified Translation, "Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me, hear, and your soul will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David."
The key to your appointment as a commander, to your success in life, is your willingness to listen and obey his life-changing and life-enriching words. When we do what's right before God, obeying his word, we'll be amazed and blessed at what's in store for us. Number four, commanders bring offerings for the work of the Lord.
Numbers 31, verse 51 in the Classic Amplified says, "So Moses and Eleazar, the priest, received the gold from all the military commanders. all kinds of jewelry and crafted objects. So how much gold would we be talking about? In Numbers 31:52, next verse, it says, "And all the gold of the offering that they offered up to the Lord of the captains of thousands and of the captains of hundreds was 16,750 shekels."
And reading a number of other translations and reviewing Strong's Concordance, the amount of gold offered to the Lord was roughly 400 pounds, which amounts to 6,400 ounces. In today's market, the 6,400 ounces of gold with a value of $1,248.81 per ounce would equal an offering of just over $8 million.
Wow.
When we put the work of the Lord first, we also get blessed. Number five, you might not understand why God is doing what he does, but he does. Our journey to successful living, financial freedom, might not start the way we think or thought it would start. It might end up taking a different path to our goal, different path than what we imagine. But the reason is simple.
Isaiah 55, verse 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." God sees things we don't see, understands things we don't. That's why our unquestioned obedience to his commands is absolutely essential. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, the Classic Amplified, it says, "And everyone in distress or in debt or discontented gathered to him," this is David, "and he became a commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men.
Never try to figure out things on your own. See, we often mistakenly try to bring God's thought process down to ours, when in fact we should be lifting our thought process up to his level. We should make the most of whatever hand we're dealt, knowing that God is the one who raises the stakes and offers us, you, me, us, even better opportunities. God always has a plan. And not only that, his plans work.
Number six, always look to God to meet your needs, not to man. Commanders in the Lord's army should never lose their humility or fail to recognize that they are where they are and why they are where they are. In 2 Kings 5:1 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, accepted and acceptable because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper."
No question, Naaman was somebody. However, he was no doubt impressed with who he was and what he had accomplished. I mean, after all, the king held him in such regard that he sent to the king of Israel a letter of introduction and a pretty nice offering for the prophet.
In 2 Kings 5:4-5, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said, 'Go and visit the prophet.' The king of Aram told him, 'I will send a letter of introduction to you to take to the king of Israel.' So Naaman started out carrying as gift 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing."
We need to put this in perspective. Naaman was traveling with 1,200 ounces of silver at $14.69 an ounce. Today, that would be $176,280. At 24 ounces of gold, at today's rate, today's economy, that'd be worth almost $3 million. Plus 10, I'm sure they were Armani suits, $2,000. Times 10 is 20,000.
Something equivalent.
Yeah, no question. No doubt Naaman was consumed with his own self-importance. When Naaman was told the prophet, when he was told by the prophet to dunk himself in the Jordan River 7 times. He was offended for 2 reasons. First, he was slighted by the prophet because he didn't speak to him, or at least he felt slighted. In 2 Kings 5, 9 through 11, 2 Kings 9, 5 through 11, Classic Amplified, Naaman is saying, "Doesn't this prophet know who I am? And who is he to treat me this way?" Hear this. It's always important to remember that pride leads to sin and problems. Front L. Moody, the great evangelist, once said, "Be humble or you'll stumble." One of the most painful falls a person can face is when they trip over their own ego.
Second, Naaman was upset because of what others might think. No doubt, Naaman was wondering what his servants would think. What would passerbys think? What people would think about a man of his stature dunking himself in a dirty river? Are we more concerned about looking ridiculous or obeying the man or the voice of God? No one else can fight our battles. No one else will answer for our obedience to God's direction or the lack thereof when we face him on Judgment Day. No one else can walk in our shoes but us. So here is the revelation. What someone else thinks will do nothing to change your circumstances.
Wow.
But we can.
That's good. Number 7, commanders never quit until they're victorious. Hallelujah. Those in authority have a presence, a confidence in who they are, and it's evident to those near them. You know, for years I've said that when you're in charge, you don't have to tell those who understand authority, because they will recognize and honor your position of authority. Those under authority are always ready to follow the orders of those in authority without hesitation or reservation. Those in command also will have a confidence that despite any and all adversity, they will ultimately be triumphant.
Psalm 27, verse 13 in the Message Bible says, "I'm sure now I'll see God's goodness in the exuberant earth. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God."
Hallelujah.
Have you ever gone through personal adversity, something that was maybe publicly embarrassing, and looked around to find that those folks you thought were real friends were nowhere to be found? You do have one friend that will never, ever quit on you. In Psalm 37:27, this promise is made. In the Message Bible, it says, "Turn your back on evil, work for the good, and don't quit." God loves this kind of thing, never turns away from his friends.
Honey, as the contemporary worship song says, I am a friend of God. But more importantly, he's a friend of yours. And when you don't quit or give up, he's right there with you. One more thing, those under authority who obey commands will ultimately exercise great authority. God's desire is for you, me, us. God's desire is for us to be commanders in his end time army. And if he wants us to be a commander, we need to stop acting like privates and act like the position that we are.
And start rising in the rank.
That's
in
it.
God's eyes.
That's it. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. That's all we ever ask. While you're there, check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.